So in Houston, where the church I was at for several years, we had a man named Brother Bob Deason. It seems like every long-standing church has a Brother Bob, doesn't it? He was a prayer warrior. He was a man who, every time he got up to say the prayer, people would get comfortable because they knew it was going to be about 10 minutes. This man lived until he was probably 90, 94, 95 years old. Same with Brother Bob here. Whenever he prayed, you knew it was going to be a little while. I tell you, something moved me about the way Brother Bob, the Brother Bobs, prayed. And that is this. They prayed as if God was actually listening. You ever seen and heard those people who prayed and they knew God was paying attention? They just knew it. Today we talk about prayer. This is a difficult topic. It's not because I haven't read anything about it or because I haven't studied it. It's difficult because I don't know if I've really fully grasped the idea of what prayer can actually accomplish. I'm still working this out. I am going to be working it out, hopefully, until the day that I die. I tell you, whenever I think I've grasped the idea, whenever I think I get it, it's almost like something happens and it makes me question even more. So today we talk about prayer. We talk about what does it mean to pray, why we pray, and really, why should we pray? I would love to be able to go a lot deeper, but we don't have an hour and a half. There's a lot to say on this subject. So I will kind of skim the surface today, and hopefully we'll be able to glean some things. As we do continue, I ask that you pray for me. And I hope that your prayer continues through the elders, to the leadership staff. We need your prayers. So the question I have is, how do you pray? If I were to go around the room and ask everybody individually, hey, tell me about your prayer life, what would the answer be? I've asked some men in this congregation, tell me about your prayer life, and I had to give them a couple of choices. I said, is it meals and bedtimes? Is your prayer life weak? Is it only during moments of crisis? Or is it rich and growing deeper? And it's amazing the honesty that these men shared about their prayer life. Where would your prayer life fall? I think we need to ask each other more about our prayer life. When's the last time someone came up to you and said, hey, how is your prayer life? How do you talk to God? I would say we don't typically ask that because we don't want to have to be asked that. Maybe I'm just speaking about me. But I think the more we pray as a community, especially for each other, the more we resemble Jesus. See, prayer is basic to our faith, if solely for the fact that it connects us with God. So as we begin, I ask that you pray for me and for our leaders, and we're going to begin this time with prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for giving us a reason to gather. Lord, thank you for loving us, even when you know us. Lord, even on our best days, we fall short. Lord, thank you for bringing us opportunity and relationships and love each and every day. Lord, I ask that you would move in our services today. We know this is not the only place we can experience you or hear your word, but Lord, we are gathered today specifically in the name of Jesus Christ to experience you and to hear your word. So please, we ask that you would move across our people's hearts today. Teach us what we need to know, and through our learning, help us to apply it and to be able to be creative in how we apply that with other people this week so that we can continue our commission, and that is to reach people, to go into the world, to make disciples and to baptize. Begin right now. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So the question I ask today is, why do we pray? I am interested in why we typically pray, and I've narrowed it down to a few reasons. So number one, I think one of the reasons we pray is because we want something. Isn't that right? Our needs are numerous. Sometimes our desires are numerous as well. Needs and desires are different, I'm sure. But we take stock of our life, and if something isn't just so, we ask God to give us something. And this something sometimes leads us to treating God almost like a genie. You know, we get our Bible, and then we hope that he hears us. A lot of times we want something, and sometimes that's the only reason we ever pray. It's because we want. Sometimes we even ask for things in his name, like it says for us to do in John 14. It says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." I did that, and I've told this story before, but I did that as a 9-year-old boy all the way home one day, praying in the name of Jesus Christ that I would have a go-kart in my driveway as soon as I got home. And I did. You've never seen a 9-year-old pray harder in the name of Jesus Christ. Parents probably thought I was speaking in tongues in the back seat. We were Baptists, so that wasn't appropriate. But I did, and I don't know if this is really what this verse is talking about. I don't think it's talking about just anything. Jesus is talking about the works that he does, and usually these works always have to do with helping others see the kingdom of God lived out in the world. See, Jesus' works had nothing to do with who won the current chariot race, whatever sporting event was going on, or the Imperial Lottery. I don't know if they had one of those back then. I think sometimes we pray so that we can get something. And maybe even more than that, we pray so we can get out of something. Maybe. Whether it's a situation or... What I think is interesting is that Paul, never once did Paul ever pray that someone was removed from their current situation. You can check it. If I'm wrong, let me know. Number two, we pray as a way to get God's attention. Sometimes we don't think he's paying attention, so we pray that he will. Sometimes we pray angrily. Sometimes we pray with tears and frustration. I know some of us have cried out to God, and we have yelled and screamed. Sometimes we pray so that we just feeling that he's paying attention. Number three, sometimes we pray so that we can influence him or coerce him into doing something that we want. If something's not going our way, our minds tell us that we have to do what we can to push him to make things go our way. So we become a bargainer. We say what we can so that we convince him to choose things for us. And we beg, we plead, and in the most serious of cases, you'll hear people make deals. You know, if you let me, then I will... How many of y'all made that? I have. Also, we pray because we have come to the end of what we can do. Many times we pray because we are just completely out of options. We have done all we know how to do. We have sweated. We have worried. We have done our best to make the impossible possible. And then in that moment, when we realize the extent of our frailty, the bulb slowly lights up and we bow our heads and turn our thoughts toward heaven. And then when we pray, we ask for an answer and we ask for it to happen now. We cry and we plead, but by that time, we sometimes aren't really praying with expectation as much as we are praying with our fingers crossed and a wince on our face. Listen. And if the prayer gets answered well, we respond with surprise. Oh, all right, good. Oh, thank you. And if the prayer gets answered poorly, then we wonder, is there really a God in the begin with? Prayer doesn't really work anyway. I've been there. There was a time when I did not pray for a long time because things did not go my way. Maybe this is you. But I prayed like this for these reasons. How do you pray? How do you see prayer? Now, some people look at prayer as if it's something that begs a clear-cut result. They look at prayer as either working or not working. Now, so you won't feel badly at prayer, looking at prayer in one of these ways, I don't necessarily think that any of these reasons are bad. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think that it's wrong to pray that God will give you attention, or pray that we pray to coerce, or that we want something. I don't think that any of those things are wrong. I mean, we do need, and he told us to come to him. What does Paul say in Philippians 4:6? He says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." God wants him to tell us everything, our needs, our wants, even down to the smallest minutia, right? He wants us to know that he's paying attention. And sometimes our prayers can influence God's decision. We see that throughout Scripture. And as far as saving prayer for the last option, I guess in one way or another, better late than never, right? The reality is this, for prayer, for all of us, some of us, prayer is tough. It is difficult. It's awkward, and if we don't know what we're doing or why we're doing it, I mean, for some of us in here, prayer is difficult because we really don't think God's paying that much attention to us. I mean, we've prayed fervently. I know people in here have prayed hard and day after day for something to happen. And for some reason, you still had to suffer. For some reason, they still died. The cure didn't come, or the money didn't arrive, or the marriage wasn't saved. Maybe you're still unemployed. Maybe you're miserable in your job. Maybe people have yet to notice you or your value. You have prayed for these things. I think for the most part, we find it difficult to pray because regardless of what we see on TV and in the movies, prayer doesn't always result in a win for the team. But see, I think prayer is much more meaningful than that. So as I've thought through this lesson, a thought occurred to me. Maybe instead of telling us how to pray, maybe we focus on reframing why we need to pray. Maybe we focus on prayer as this primary way of connecting with God, because prayer does just that. It helps us to connect with God. And I believe prayer reveals what we believe about God. Listen to our language when we pray. How we pray, the words we use, they say a lot about who we think God is. How we see God paying attention. I mean, it's always been difficult, prayer. It's very difficult. Look at the disciples. One day they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. I mean, they grew up in this tradition, in this way, and their whole life was surrounded by prayer, but they weren't really sure they were doing it right. So one day they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. When's the last time someone asked you, hey, teach me how to pray? When's the last time you asked someone, teach me how to pray? We don't do that because we think we got it, for the most part. It's tough, and if we might just kind of keep it to ourselves, but it's not something we typically do. In this day and age, in this culture with the disciples, if you didn't know how to pray, it could have been synonymous with not knowing how to write or to speak correct English. So they asked Jesus to teach him. So turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 5. We're going to be in a couple of other things. Go back a few, please. Matthew chapter 6. Maybe it's not there. That's okay. Look, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 5. That may be my fault. So he says, teach us how to pray, and this is what he says. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven,
Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to stop there. As we reframe this idea of what prayer is and why it's basic to our faith, I think the first thing we need to remember is that prayer gives us an opportunity to commune with God. It's communion with God. Prayer helps us to become familiar with Jesus, with God. Part of this reframing comes through the idea that when we spend time in prayer, we begin to understand more and more about who God is. Now, Mother Teresa was once asked, what do you say when you pray for so long? And she says, well, silly, I don't say anything. I just listen. I don't know when the last time I just said, oh, I'm praying. Usually you think, oh, that's meditation. What if prayer was listening? Prayer helps us to recognize God's voice, especially when we're listening. It's hard to recognize someone's voice if we're continually talking to him or to that person, and we don't take time to listen. When we get to that point, we emulate Paul's encouragement to us in 1 Thessalonians 5, whenever he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it may be easier for us to pray if we look at it more as listening than talking. Maybe more listening, less talking. When we become accustomed to this type of prayer, then this type of communion may begin to embolden us. You know, when you get closer to somebody, you start feeling a little bit less, it's less formal. You can say things you wouldn't normally say to someone that you have just met. When you are friends with someone, when you develop that deep relationship, more intimacy can occur. You can become bolder in your conversation. There's a story of a man whose name was, it's H-O-N-I, Honey, I'm not sure. But he was around probably almost maybe 70 years before Jesus, but he was considered a righteous man. There was a famine going on in the land of Israel, and they knew if they talked to this man, his prayers would be heard by God. So they asked him to do it, and he said, fine, I'll do it. He goes and he gives a circle, draws a circle in the ground. He's called Hani, the circle drawer. Gets in the circle, and he prays to God, God, listen to your people, give them rain. The rain starts pouring down in torrents, floods, you name it. He yells to God, no, that's not what I wanted. What I wanted is rain that would help support the crops. So the rain slows down and it gets really light. He's like, that's not what I wanted. I want you to give rain that is appropriate. Now, the rain became appropriate, as the story goes. And their crops were good. Now, what happened was that these Pharisees, these people who looked at him, said, listen, if this was anyone else, we would not have approved of that prayer. You talked too bold to God. But we know you know God, so we'll let it slide, they say in Hebrew. Are we bold in our conversation with God? Imagine if we were to approach prayer in this way. Being bold as a child of God, knowing He is going to listen, knowing He's going to hear our prayer. Imagine if we treated it this way. If we were bold, if we knew Him through prayer, would this house not become a house of prayer here? And when we think of Grapevine Church of Christ, do we think of it being a house of prayer? If we came to this place with prayer in our minds, how would that shape our conversation? How would that shape the mindset of our worship services, our class time? You know, Jesus, he intended his temple to be a house of prayer for all nations. And why is that? You notice the moment he cleared the temple is because the house of prayer for all nations had been turned into a robber's den where no one cared about prayer. They just cared about making money. That made him angry. So what did he do? He cleared the temple.
It's supposed to be a house of prayer. Why does he want it to be a house of prayer? Because he wants community with us. He knows we need it with him. And prayer offers that. Prayer also offers transformation. But the transformation that he desires for us is nothing like those hypocrites experienced in Matthew chapter 6. Theirs is a temporary transformation so that people can see their good works. They get up and they say many things. And they're probably eloquent and they're beautiful. And people are moved. But what happens to them when they step off that stage, that podium, they are even worse than you are. I was an actor for a long time, and I know what it means to put on a face, to do a role. And I tell you, there were some moments I was great at this, but what happened was is that when I got off that stage, I was myself again. But what prayer is here to offer us is something that is not a temporary transformation. It's not a, okay, good, thanks for answering my prayer. I'm gone. I'll call you when I need you. There's a transformation that happens through prayer. They've actually done research. A guy named, his name was Andrew Newberg. He studies the brain, and he did a study to see the brains of people who were praying. He looked at people who believed strongly and prayed, and he looked at those people who didn't believe in anything but meditated. So he did these CAT scans, brain scans. You can go online and look for this. Andrew Newberg, fascinating. What he found is that those believers who prayed, something physiologically happened in their brain. Things were lighting up that don't normally light up. And every time something fires in your brain's different. Prayer physiologically transforms us already. Just the act of prayer. But it also happens on a spiritual level as well. The truth is, when we spend time with God, when we learn to listen to him, to slow down, when we take moments to pray through Scripture, when we begin to look, we begin to act, we begin to live and love like Jesus does. I mean, lasting transformation is never quick. We know that. Someone asked Arnold Schwarzenegger one time, hey, how long did it take you to get like that? And he says, I don't know, how long did it take you to get like that? In the Schwarzenegger accent, he said. Can't do that very well. But sometimes we look at prayer as we want it to be quick. Let's go, change me. Show me what I need to know so I can keep going. Lasting transformation takes a while. What do they say about the apostle, about John, about his knees looked like a camel's knees because he'd spent so much time on them praying? But I tell you, once that transformation begins, it is not temporary, but it leads you to a new self. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22-24. It says this. It says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Transformation happens through prayer. Finally, transformation happens through intercession. Prayer is intercession. We have the opportunity each and every day to intercede for one another, to pray for each other. Intercession is highly important. Moses interceded for those people on the ground. If you look at Exodus 17, you see this great story. His soldiers are fighting the Amalekites, and what does Moses do? He is commanded, go up on the mountain and hold up your staff. So he holds up his staff, and he's doing this for a while, a long time. And every time he lowered his staff, his army would lose. It'd be fought back, and his men would come up and help him. He was lifting up his people. And it's hard work. It's usually hard work for these people who are interceding for others. Sometimes it's harder work for them. Abraham interceded for those people in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, he did that, right? He interceded for this wicked city. He said, God, in fact, those three men that came to visit him, God said, I'm going to go destroy them. The three men left. Abraham turned around and said, now, hang on a second. What if I find 50 righteous men? And God said, okay, 50 men. You find 50 men. He goes, okay, what about 45? 40, 30, 20, 10. God each time said, okay. He had already told him to go destroy the city, but Abraham interceded for this for the city, this wicked city. Abraham didn't want anybody to perish, not even the evil people. Huh, that sounds familiar. Sounds a lot like Jesus. See, Jesus is still today interceding for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, it says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Our prayers are reaching the very throne of God because of Jesus Christ. He intercedes for us because he loves us. He cares for us. I could preach an entire series on intercession, but today I will say this is probably one of the most important things we could do for each other. To lift one another up to God through prayer. You ever been in front of someone famous or someone very important and were introduced to them by name? Makes you feel good. Imagine introducing someone to God by name, lifting up someone to the King, creator of the universe by name. We're doing this in some way already. We have our 1036 campaign. We pray for our kids. We have Hannah Holt. Did you know that? We have you. We pray for you and Cersei. Our kids pray for you every night. It's kind of fun. Could we pray, create an imagination for somebody? Could we pray for them that they would see God work in their life? That they could see God experience, that they could experience love, the love of God through their daily life, through any situation. Do we pray for others in that way? I tell you, if we were to do that for people, how would that change the way we see each other in traffic, at work, wherever we are? If we, instead of wanting something from them or angry because we didn't get something from them, what if we focused praying for them? It's an opportunity to intercede. Every person becomes an opportunity for prayer. Wherever we may be, however rude someone might be for us, we have an opportunity. We can pray for them. We can ask God to see them, to soften their hearts, to experience pure love. And the truth I continue to remind myself of is that we're in this together. I'm not an island to myself. I'm part of the body of Christ, and I should pray for the body of Christ. And if you notice the Lord's Prayer, there's not one I or me in that entire prayer. Our, us, we are the body of Christ. Can we pray for each other? Can we be bold in praying for each other, knowing that this prayer leads us to communion with God, thus transforming us into his image? We are followers of Jesus Christ who intercedes for us. Then why cannot we intercede like Jesus does for us? Why can't we intercede for others? Spending time focusing on them. I'm going to encourage you this week to put your efforts, put what you know about God into your prayer life. Pray continually. Listen in your prayers. Pray the scriptures. Start with Psalms. It's okay. We've always been traditioned. Well, you've got to pray creatively and extemporaneously. You don't necessarily have to do that. These disciples even had issues. And what did Jesus say? Pray like this. Start with the Psalms. Pray what David prayed. I'm sure we've experienced that. Because it's tough. So as we wrap up our time today, I want to give you some ideas on how we can begin to pray intentionally for others. This is really quick. Pray for your church family. What if you came to church early? Walk up and down these aisles and pray for the people who are going to sit there. Pray that God speaks to them that day. Maybe go in the parking lot before you come in. Pray that the arguments that are being had in every car, maybe that they're not happening today. Maybe pray that as people leave, that they're safe. Maybe go to the class and before and pray that the people sitting in here will be encouraged to love today. It's simple. And really, but what if we were so intentional about it? When you see other people, say a short prayer for them. Think of something you could say. Maybe you could say, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, show them love today. Or help me to show them love today. Every person that you see, pray for them. At the beginning of the year, we've been pushing this off, but at the beginning of the year, we're starting something called the prayer. It's a prayer ministry. It's going to be in the parlor, and it's going to be available during the services. We're going to have people there, elders, staff, maybe some deacons, volunteers are going to be up in this parlor during the services, ready to pray with you, whatever your situation. We'll have that available at the beginning of the year. You'll hear more about that soon. I tell you, this is an opportunity for you. What if you just spent one Sunday every 2 months praying for somebody? Pray while you drive to work. Listen to God. Meditate on Scripture. Turn the radio off. Pray as the first option instead of the last option. In a moment, I'm going to give us an opportunity to pray a prayer of intercession for one of our own family, the Anya and Zhenya Dovzhenko. They have been looking for a religious visa, an R1 visa. We have been doing everything we can. This week, it was denied. So if nothing is done for them, they will go back to Ukraine in 6 months. I'm not going to let that happen. So in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray with me for them. We're going to intercede for them. Prayer of a righteous man is availeth much. It's heard by God. And I tell you, there's some righteous people in here. And how many of you are going to say, don't stop with your prayers only. Put it into action. Go talk to somebody. Talk to one of your representatives, a congressman, write a senator. Whoever you know out of the woodwork, find them and tell them, you've got to help us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you need to help us with this family. Be bold. We can do that. You know, we're children of God. Before we pray, I wanted to read one quote. This is from Timothy Keller. He's a preacher in New York City, and he has a book called Prayer. Very simple name, but I tell you, the content is fantastic. If you have a chance to read it, this is what he says. He says, Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray. He healed people with prayers. He denounced the corruption of the temple worship, which he said should be a house of prayer, and insisted that some demons could be cast out only through prayer. He prayed often and regularly with fervent cries and tears, and sometimes all night. The Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him as he was praying, and he was transfigured with the divine glory as he prayed. When he faced his greatest crisis, he did so with prayer. We hear him praying for his disciples and the church on the night before he died, and then petitioning God in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, and finally he died praying, "My Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Prayer is basic to our faith. It is our connection with God. It is something that is a gift, really. We can do it anytime, anywhere, wherever we are, whoever we are with, and there's power there. We don't even get started on the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit can work through that. It's a whole different series of conversations. But for now, I'm going to encourage you this week, pray. Pray. I'm going to pray for you guys. If you're around them, if you just want to put a hand on them or just surround them right now, you want to raise your hands and let everybody know where you are? There you go. There you go. There you go. We're going to pray for them. And let's all stand together. And we're going to pray and then we're going to sing. But I encourage you, if you're around them, just go stand around them. And we're going to pray for them. Pray that God helps this situation. It's okay to move out of your seat. That's okay. We are together. This is the body of Christ. And we are praying knowing that God's listening. Let's pray together and then we'll sing. Our God in heaven, we adore you. Lord, we also adore this family. Lord, we know that you are the God above all gods. We know that you have your way. We know that you have your plans. Lord, we know that you are in control. And right now, we know this is a moment where you're wanting us to pray and to gather together in the name of your Son so that we can lift up the Dovzhenko family to you. Lord, we know this country, this government is not the point. Our point is to be followers of Jesus Christ. And there are so many laws and so many loopholes and so many barriers to to the things that we want and should have here. And we know that this is just another barrier for them. So we pray right now that you would open hearts, that you would clear away paperwork, Lord, that you would allow this religious visa to happen, that there would be no more issues with it, that you would move in the hearts of our people here to take action on the behalf of them, to intercede with our prayers and our actions. Lord, we know the Spirit of God is on this family. I see it. I hear it. I've experienced it. Lord, I lift them up to you right now. Lord, we lift them up to you right now. Lord, we ask that you would give us what we want. Give them what they need. And in turn, Lord, I pray that you would help us to make this into a moment where we can proudly and confidently say that you are God and we are your people. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say amen.